Luke 12:13-21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God."
Hello, everyone. I have a picture that I'd like to share with you today as we begin reflecting on this parable that Jesus taught about treasure that lasts. Maybe this picture is one that you've seen before hanging on a wall in a kitchen or in a dining room somewhere. But it's one that I actually, the print that I have, I hang in my office above my desk. And it's one that I have looked to many times in reflection, and it helps to spur on my gratitude. It's this simple picture called Grace. It was taken by Eric Enstrom in 1918 in a small rural town of Bovee, Minnesota. And it shows a man before a simple meal in a simple prayer of thanks. And I'm always reminded of a few verses when I see this picture that I read in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. And it says this, "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God." And as we saw in that picture, there is this contentedness and peace in the man's face as he prays. And when we learn to live each day in thankfulness, with hearts that are constantly surrendering before God in thanks, seeking His will to be done, we can find a peace as well and a contentedness that surpasses any security that we can find in earthly possessions. As we continue on in this series of Jesus' parables, we come to this one that was just read to us. And once again, we see Jesus bringing out the simple truths of His kingdom through the everyday circumstances of the people that are around Him. Two brothers caught up in a dispute about an inheritance. Now, I can imagine that some of us have faced something similar to this. And they're fighting about who should get which share of the inheritance. And we might expect that Jesus, being the good teacher that He is, would enter into some sort of mediation between these two, help them to sort it out, help them to deal fairly with each other. But we see Jesus isn't concerned with the ins and outs of the inheritance at all. Instead, Jesus invites His hearers on that day, as well as again today as we engage with this story, to ask ourselves the question, how does my finances and my use of them, or my use of my property and my possessions, what does that teach me and those around me about who God is and about my heart toward Him? we see Jesus again focusing not on what is on the outside, but actually what's happening inside the man and what this potential inheritance might do to the man's soul. And so Jesus says, watch out. Watch out for that bubbling greed that's inside you that seeks to increase your wealth, and all the while it seeks to steal your joy and destroy your soul. And we hear that message again today. Watch out, because true life is not found in possessions. So he shares this simple parable. A man comes into abundance through a great harvest. And instead of looking to give back to God in thanks and blessing others through the abundance that has been given to him, he decides that it would be best to ensure his lifelong security and pleasure. And he decides that it would be better to instead build bigger barns and store it all up and hoard it all to himself so that he can hang on to this blessing and so that he can relax and eat and drink and be merry. All the while not knowing that everything he has stored up for him is going to go to someone else. Because God is going to demand his life, and all of his plans will come to a much sooner end than he had hoped. And Jesus says, this is what it is like for people that store up treasures for ourselves, but are not rich toward God. And we're all tempted to find life and joy and security and contentment and satisfaction and peace in material possessions, in the treasures of this world. So whether we've been given little or much, the temptation remains the same. But God's desire is that we would learn not to put stock in what we presently have, but instead that we would learn to look to him to provide for us, and trust him that he will, and find joy in giving to others and sharing all the blessings that we have been given. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 17 to 19. Where it says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up for themselves treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life, which is truly life. God says that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. It might feel like life for a moment, but it's fleeting. It's uncertain. See, God is the only one who can give life that is truly life. So many things that we place value in are so easily subject to change. And if we have ever experienced that before, we certainly have experienced it in the past 6 months. Even as the systems on which we use to organize our lives and to have some sort of sense of normalcy and security have been so quickly changed. And we've been learning that wealth can come and go. We can experience in our lives times of abundance as well as lean times. But God continues to be worthy of worship and our pursuit and our ultimate valuing. Because even when our possessions abandon us or leave us wanting, he never does. He keeps providing for us daily, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of sometimes lack, just as he provided literally daily bread for his people while they were wandering in the desert in Exodus chapter 16. And in so many other examples that we can see in Scripture, God provides. And Jesus issued this great invitation in this passage in Luke 12. We have this parable, but Jesus also shares with us a few verses later a promise. If we go down to verse 29 in Luke 12, he says, "So don't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you." And so we have this amazing invitation as we learn not to put our stock in possessions. Jesus says in verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." So sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth can destroy. See, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where our treasure is where our heart will be. And if we're going to take hold of life that is truly life, God needs to be our only treasure, because that's where our heart's going to be. Things may come and go, but God's love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his fullness of life endures forever. And in God's kingdom, Jesus taught us in his parables that we've already found that pearl of greatest price. We've already found a treasure that's worthy for us to go and sell everything and go and buy that treasure. We have found salvation, redemption, and restoration into right relationship with God through his blood, so that we can joyfully expect that we will be able to enjoy the presence of the provider of all things for eternity. And so practically, we can start to ask ourselves these questions as we seek to value God more than we value anything else. We can ask ourselves, does my outlook on the things that I have, is it in line with the reality of God's kingdom and all that he has already given to us through Christ, through his death and resurrection, and through the life that we now have in him? Is our outlook in line with the reality of that kingdom? And even practically, I thought about this last week. When my kids break something, is my response to them in line with what I've already received from God's kingdom? What about when my generosity is abused? Am I still viewing that in line with God's kingdom? That it's still good to give, no matter how it's used? Will I allow my storehouses to be opened up to others for God's glory, to show them that there is a treasure that is more valuable than any possession I could possibly own? Do I reveal that I value my possessions more, or that I value being part of God's kingdom and being in right relationship with him so much more? How we use our finances and our possessions and our time and our physical energy and even our emotional energy, it'll reveal what we are truly valuing. Because ultimately, we admit that God is in control of our lives, not us. We might like to cling to our securities, but none of us knows how many years God will give us, or what God is desiring in his plan to give or to take away. And so as followers of God, and as people who treasure him higher than anything else, we learn to take every season of life in its stride and to depend on God and to ask Him to continue to lead us. And that is the invitation we have in that. Joyfully, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. We have a treasure that no moth can destroy." And so Jesus encourages us to be rich toward God. Instead of hoarding the treasure and holding back from God, as the man in the parable did, Jesus says, be rich toward God. And I'm conscious that this looks differently for all of us, and it can look differently all throughout our lives as well. What might it look like to be rich toward God? I want to just give you some ideas to help spur on this thinking in you, but I hope that together with your life group or with a few other people from the body of Christ in the church, you might have an opportunity to just ask this question toward one another and to think a little deeper about what will it look like in my life to be rich toward God. Maybe as a young person, realizing you might not have a whole lot of your own yet. You might not have a vast list of earthly possessions, but you might have opportunities to share, to practice hospitality with whatever little that God has given to you. Learn to be rich as a young person toward God with your energies and with your imagination and with your time and with whatever resource that God has given to you. In Mark chapter 12, we read the story of a widow who gave the last penny that she had to God. And Jesus commended her not because what she had given was such a great, enormous gift, but because what she gave truly from her heart. And she gave out of what little she had, trusting that God would provide the next meal. As a young adult, what would it look like to be rich toward God with your first apartment or your first vehicle or the first fruits of that first job that you get as you start your career? Are you beginning to plan to seek to bless others and to give back to God, even if it means that your lifelong financial timeline might look a little different than some of the people around you? For young families, what might it look like as you might be starting to be more established in your homes and now you have this opportunity, you're able to start looking ahead and decide, are we going to build bigger storehouses to keep accumulating more for ourselves? How is God leading us as young families to be generous? And will we set plans in place now that ensure that we're not just building for ourselves, but that we're rich toward God with the life that we are building? What about for those of you who are eyeing up or have begun your retirement? What does your heart say about how you've been putting stock in storing up for many years so that you can sit back and relax and eat and drink and be merry for the rest of your days? What is God calling you to do about setting those plans or maybe readjusting those plans so that you can place generosity and blessing others and being rich toward God as a central focus of your retirement plan? He is the treasure that will last far beyond your retirement years. And you see, all throughout our lives, in different ways, God continues to invite us back to this question. Will we cling tightly to the temporary, or will we be rich toward God with the temporary so that we can invest in treasure that lasts forever? And if we find ourselves becoming aware, as we're asking ourselves these questions, that maybe we've been putting too much focus on building bigger barns, I encourage you, Repent. Jesus calls you to repent and believe, to turn away from that wrong attitude, to acknowledge before God that it's not an attitude that's rooted in His kingdom values, but instead in our kingdom values. And as we repent, we pray and ask God to reveal where our distrust and where our selfishness and where our greed might be in our heart, and ask Him to teach us to be rich toward Him. And then think of a first practical step that you could take towards it. Maybe it's investigating a charity or an opportunity in which you could use some of those finances to bless others. Maybe it's that you've been holding on to that paycheck and not willing to give of the first fruits of it because you're worried about how God might provide for you if you give it up. We have a great example in Jesus. Jesus showed us the ultimate example of choosing to reject the pursuit of earthly things. Satan tempted Him in the desert with every kind of material wealth, and he said to Jesus, "I will give you all of this if you will bow down and worship Me." And Jesus responded to Satan, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." So the question is before us again today. Will we choose to live for ourselves, to increase our own possessions and our own wealth, or will we choose to heed Jesus' warning in this parable to watch out for the greed that so easily overtakes our souls? Will we choose to allow God to continue to transform our view of wealth so that we could use our possessions to show our families and our communities and our world that He is the ultimate treasure of our lives? My daughters recently had their birthdays. Two of my daughters have birthdays on July 8th and July 9th, so we celebrate them together. And for their birthday, they each got a container of cotton candy. And when we get cotton candy in our house, it's a really special thing. My kids love it, and they love to eat it. They love to enjoy it. And I told one of my daughters when it was time to have the cotton candy, you know, after a meal for a dessert, they were allowed to enjoy it. And I told one of my daughters, I won't tell you which one, but I told one of them, this is a special treat for you. So you don't have to share it. You can enjoy it yourself because it was given to you for your birthday. But if you want to share it, absolutely feel free to do that. And the first thing that my daughter did was to open up the jar and to look to her brother, and who was salivating at this point, hoping that his sister would give him some. And she looked at him and she said, "Here, you have some first." It was one of those beautiful moments of generosity that was just so wonderful to watch. And I thought of how much more pleasure we had around the table because she chose to share. We enjoyed the cotton candy together, and we savored the taste of it. And it was just great to enjoy that together as we all became thankful for the gift that had been given to her. And now, of course, that was one moment, and sometimes we see moments of the other side of selfishness, and when our children choose to hold on to the things that have been given them very tightly. But thank you, children, even for teaching us adults about what it means to be rich toward God as you share the things that He has given to you. So as we close this time, and as we reflect at whatever place in life we are about how God is calling us to live for treasure that lasts, I just want to offer a simple prayer to us. And the prayer is written in your sermon notes, and it's on the YouVersion. And I encourage you, if you have access to that, then use this prayer this week. But maybe we can pray it now. Let's pray together. Father, you have given all to us. To you, Lord, we return it. Everything is yours, so do with it what you will. Give us only your love and your grace. That is enough for us. We thank you, God, and we look to you as the only treasure that lasts in this world. Help us to watch out against greed which overtakes us. And lead us into a new way of thinking, because we have already obtained everything through you. We have obtained life which is truly life. And so now we can use our possessions for your glory. Help us to treasure you beyond anything else. We ask it in Jesus' name today. Amen.